In October, just days before the MAX was set to open, workers were still sawing, pounding, and testing the alarm system. Randy Haas scurried past the workers and pulled out his trombone.
I guess I've always snuck around looking for great acoustics. This is just like a dream come true. It really is.
But he and many of the other members of the orchestra are excited about more than just the acoustics. The MAX comes with some creature comforts the orchestra has long done without. For years, the orchestra played in an ornate but rundown hall surrounded by abandoned buildings and empty lots. Now Orchestra Hall has been restored, and it's been integrated into the new Performing Arts Center that was built onto its side. The new part of the MAX includes a second performance hall, dressing rooms, rehearsal spaces, and classrooms.
We've jumped up a level and actually have the facilities now to match the caliber of the orchestra.
The MAX is part of the orchestra's plan to save itself and downtown Detroit. In the late 1980s and early 90s, the DSO was struggling with an $8 million deficit. Part of the problem was that concertgoers from the suburbs were afraid to come downtown. That's when the orchestra's leaders hatched a plan for a $220 million urban renewal initiative. Stephen Millen is the general manager of the DSO.
We wanted to be seen as a leader in embracing the city. And we thought that some very careful investments in this area, we built an office building across the street from Orchestra Hall, we've now built the Maxim Fisher Music Center, and now phase three will be the Performing Arts School that's going up. And this has actually generated a kind of renaissance.
The office building has space for stores and restaurants, which the Detroit Symphony Orchestra rents out. And the opening of the MAX capped a run of big successes for the orchestra. The economic boom in the 1990s helped the DSO get rid of its debt. Violinist Itzhak Perlman signed on as principal guest conductor. And ticket sales were on the rise until they flattened out after 9/11. But just weeks after the MAX opened up, the orchestra revealed it was once again in the red, to the tune of over $2 million. And its executive director abruptly resigned. Again, trombonist Randy Haas.
The discovery of the deficit, it wasn't like some archaeologist digging into the dirt and finding, oh my God, look what we have. It was, you know, something that most everyone saw coming.
With the current economic downturn hurting fundraising, investment earnings, and ticket sales, the DSO has been unable to bankroll an urban redevelopment project, run an orchestra, and still balance its books.
What we didn't know is how we would be able to face it and get through it. And that was the difficult part.
The musicians have taken pay cuts, and so have administrators. And some ideas for poetry slams and other more unusual programs are now on hold. This situation is complicated by the fact that longtime conductor Naimi Yarvi is retiring at the end of the season. It means the direction of the orchestra is uncertain. Management at the DSO is still betting on the idea that the orchestra will be vital to the community if it can change opinions about Detroit. Concertgoers Stephen and Linda Williams live outside the city, but they say the DSO was one of the things that made Detroit more attractive to them.
You get to recognize faces of the performers, and you get a sense of their personalities.
I mean, I loved Jarvie, and contrasting him with the other conductors, I got a sense when he was really pleased and not quite so happy, the personality came through.
While the Williamses watch the orchestra, musicians like Randy Haas are returning their gaze.
We look out in the audience, and we see the percentage of seats sold, and we see if a conductor like Itzhak Perlman is in the house, the percentage of seats sold go up. If the program is good, if it's a popular piece like Symphony Fantastique or Beethoven 5, it goes up.
Haas says he'll be watching as the future of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra starts to take shape. Ann Parsons from the New York City Ballet takes over as executive director later this summer. The Performing Arts School will be completed in 2005. And the orchestra expects that with the economy improving, they'll once again be out of the red. For Studio 360, I'm Tamar Charney.